In the lesson today, I'm going to deal with chapter 2 and verse 19 of the book of Revelation. Verse 19 reads like this: I know your works and charity and service and faith and your patience, and your works, and the last be more than the first. When you read that verse, you would think that church is doing well. And by today's standards, they would be considered a success. Friend, when a church uses man's ways to measure, a church may look very successful. This is what is behind today's market-driven, seeker-friendly church strategy. Here's how it works. You give the people what they want, and your church will be successful. For much of these modern churches today, they think that the needs determines the roadmap. The idea is basic selling principles. Satisfy an existing desire rather than trying to persuade people to buy something they don't want. That's why in today's church growth strategies, we see millions spent on demographic surveys, polls taken among members, community surveys, all trying to see what the people want. Well, this isn't the church that Jesus Christ is building for His glory. In many churches today, the people is sovereign, not God. The people determine the direction that the church goes, not God. The church at Thyatira was a church that was in the process of growing into maturity. They were doing more, serving more, loving more than they did at first. And in all of this, they were doing well. But verse 20 says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you suffered that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat sacrifice unto idols. Jesus tells them that they have allowed the current culture to determine their direction. Their big problem was that they were tolerant. That sounds weird, doesn't it? In a world where we are told that we must be tolerant of all, that every belief is as valuable as any other, yet that's not what our Lord says. He isn't interested in opinions and marketing surveys. He's interested in truth and obedience to His word and true love one for another. The first specific act of tolerance that Jesus condemned was the fact that the church tolerated that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophet, to seduce His servants. I heard one fella preach on this same verse of scripture, and he said the first thing that we have to address in this description is that this person is a woman. He said no woman can be a prophetess. No woman is allowed to prophesy. I'll get more onto that later. But this was not the first thing that Jesus addressed. The first thing that He addressed was that she called herself a prophetess. The woman was not a prophetess of God. She called herself, like many of the false preachers and teachers we hear today. They're not God called to preach perverse doctrines. They are called of the devil. But yet I do believe, according to Scripture, there are some God called and Spirit-filled prophetess of the Lord in the Lord's church. Some would say that a prophetess of the Lord cannot speak in the Lord's church. Really? When is a member of the body of Christ not in the body of Christ? When is a prophetess not in the body of Christ. I read in Acts 21 and 8 where the writer says, "We entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy." So I would ask, where did they prophesy? Were they outside of the body of Christ when they would prophesy? If they were, they were not his. Anyone outside of the body of Christ is a child of the devil. We all know that. So the only place that these four daughters could prophesy was in the body of Christ, which is the church of the living God. I do read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17, where Luke wrote these words, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." And then I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5, Paul wrote these words, "But every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head." So we find that Paul was well aware of the prophetess of his day. He was well acquainted with the four daughters of Philip, who I have already mentioned. God will not be limited by your ignorance or by your bigotry. God does what he wills without consulting with you or me. As for who this Jezebel was, she may have been someone with this name at the time, or the name may represent a person, male or female, like the infamous Queen Jezebel of the Old Testament, an idolatress who massacred the prophets of God, who influenced her husband, King Ahab, to do more evil in God's sight than any king ever before him. Jezebel may also be symbolic of a false church or religion. The book of Revelation is filled with symbolism, and within this book, a woman is used to represent both the true church of Jesus Christ and the false church called Babylon, Babylon the Great. This Jezebel may be symbolic of the great harlot that Jesus Christ will judge when he returns to judge this world. The opinions which this Jezebel held and the practices unto which she led others appear to have been the same which are referred to in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 6. But we find here the members at Thyatira had a teacher among them, openly advocating this sinful conduct. Christ was disappointed that the church at Thyatira allowed her to continue to teach this heresy and seduce his servants to sin. I'm going to stop the lesson right here, but tomorrow I'll be back. I'll be dealing with verse 21.